The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to John. At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Please be seated. I love objects that have a story to them. The scuff on a pair of shoes from the thrift store, or the turned down edges and margin notes of a used book, or old houses either haunted or holy by the lives that have been lived in them. All of these objects contain more than just the material that makes them. They give insight into a unique past, into stories that are very much their own. And in this way, what may look the same from a distance is made distinct by the marks of the past. They're given a certain spiritual quality by the stories they contain in them. Just as an example, my copy of T.S. Eliot's Four Quartets may have the same words in it as any other copy, but when I hold that book, I don't just encounter the poem. I remember sitting with those same pages in another country at another time. I'm taken back to the experience I had then, and though that experience in the moment may be gone, every time I open that book, it comes alive in a new way, that it's all brought back to me. One of the other objects that I really cherish is the fly rod that belonged to my grandfather. I'm not much of a fisherman, really not at all, but he was. And I love to take that rod and go out alongside a mountain stream to a beautiful place where I can see the morning light filtering through the rhododendron. Fortunately, these are places full of hazards, and I spend more time wrestling my flies from bankside foliage than doing anything that would catch me a fish. But it's really not the point for me. I never knew my grandfather, but I grew up hearing stories about him, hearing of how he loved to be outside, how he was an avid and skilled hunter and fisherman. And I grew up hearing about all the ways that I was like him, how others could see him in me, and how we would have gotten along. And so in these stories, I began to see someone who I love, respected, admired, someone who I wanted to be more like. And even though he was a better fisherman than I, to stand there on the banks just upstream from his favorite spots, holding his rod in my hands, I could feel his spirit with me. Despite his absence, in those moments, he was present to me. Each time I hold that rod, he's made alive in a new way. With each misguided wrist flick and the drop of the fly, not exactly where I had hoped, or sometimes very far off, he's with me. In his absence, he is present. This relationship of presence and absence is at the core of today's gospel. So let me set the scene for you. Jesus and the disciples are gathered for the Last Supper. Jesus has tenderly washed the feet of each of the disciples. He has announced that he will be betrayed. He has even announced that it is one of their own who would betray him. Up to this point, he's been dropping hints all along the way of what was to come. And he's been straight out telling them. And they just haven't gotten it. One chapter before this one, Jesus tells them that the light is with them for just a little bit longer, that they need to enjoy it while it's here. Over and over, he's getting them ready for a time when it will be up to them to carry that light, when he won't be with them anymore. So he tells them, "I'm leaving, that soon you won't be able to follow me. I will be leaving, but you will stay behind to carry the light." And that he echoes that again in today's gospel. "Really, guys, I'm leaving. And you can't come with me. You've got to stay here. It's not going to be easy. It's probably not going to be fun. In fact, it's definitely not going to be fun. But there's more work to do. The ways that you've known me, walking around, healing, caring for the poor, for the outcast, it's all going to change." What we read today is the beginning of Jesus' farewell speech, his final words, his last will and testament, those final goodbyes. He knows where he's going, and he's trying to communicate that to the disciples. But what he's telling them isn't just about saying goodbye. Yes, he tells them he won't be with them anymore, but he leaves them with something else. He leaves them with what he calls a new commandment. "Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." If we think about it, it's really nothing that new to this commandment. Love one another. It is, in fact, one of the oldest commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. It goes back to Deuteronomy and Moses and the Israelites wandering around in the desert. But Jesus takes this old commandment and makes it new. "Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." The command to love may be the same, but this is a different kind of love. This is love transformed. This is a love rooted in Christ, rooted in who he was, rooted in how he taught, rooted in how he would save us all. This is the love that wept at Lazarus' tomb, that raised him from the dead, that healed the sick, that called the disciples, that named itself a light in the world. This is the love that put itself on the cross. This is the love that would die for the ones that it loved. This love is Jesus. And this is the gift he promises to the disciples. He will no longer be with them, at least not as they have known him, but he will be with them. He will be with them because his love will be with them. In the absence they feel as they see him hanging on the cross, they will still have his presence. He will be with them in love, if only they love one another. These words are given to Jesus' most inner circle. It's just the disciples who are gathered here. They're the ones who are with him day in and day out. They were the ones who saw this love lived out. They saw it in all the acts and all the teachings. They're the ones who felt it most near and dear to them. And so they become the carriers of that love. And so he tells them that the love they show one another will be what distinguishes them as the followers. They who knew it most intimately will show it most clearly. and it's through them that the world will see him. In his absence, he will be present in the disciples. In the love that they show one another, and in the love that they pass on, in the love that they reveal in the world, he will be present. And just so with those early disciples, he will be present in the love that we have received, that we have inherited. The love that we experience in this community and show to one another. As his followers, this commandment is for us too. That same love Jesus promised to those earliest disciples is the love that makes Jesus present here and now in this place. As I sat with this text, I was reminded of a poem that I read recently that stuck with me, that seemed to shed new light on this gospel, and the gospel seemed to shed new light on it. It's called "The People Are a Temple" by Russian poet Gennady Aigi. It's just a single line. I want to share that with you. "And souls are candles, each lighting the other." It seems so simple. There's so much there. "And souls are candles, each lighting the other." This is the embodiment of Jesus' new commandment. Love is the light that passes from one soul to another. Love is what illuminates the temple of Jesus' followers. Love is that which stands against the darkness, that reveals that there is another way of being, that illuminates hope in the darkest places. Those places of fear, doubt, uncertainty, and meaninglessness. Love is Christ's presence in the world, and like candles lighting one another, that love is shared among those who experience it, and who let it shape and form their lives. Jesus speaks to the disciples, speaks to us. "My light is fading, but yours is beginning. The light that I have, I pass on to you. The same light that I carried will be carried by you, will be carried by us. And you will carry it together. You won't do it alone. Together, your light will shine against the darkness. In you, they will see me. In you, I will be present." "And souls are candles, each lighting the other." So where does this leave us? What are we to do with this new commandment? Jesus is telling us that our life together means more than we think. When we're gathered together as a community, it's not just because we like each other, or because we get to hear great sermons, or because coffee hour is especially good this week. When we come together as a community, we are Christ's persistent presence in the world. The light of each of our candles together reveal the lasting power of love that is patterned after the love of Jesus and the love of the disciples. And yes, we are called to show that love to the world, to reach out to those in need, to stand up for the rights of refugees and oppressed peoples everywhere, to feed the hungry, to give shelter to the homeless. Those are all ways that we spread that light into the world. But before we can spread that light, we have to make sure our own candle is lit. And that's what happens here, in this community, with all of us gathered. That's what happens at this table. That's what happens down in coffee hour. That's what happens any time that we are gathered together as a community rooted in Christ. The way that we treat each other matters. In this space, we come together to support each other's ministries, to encourage and uplift each other in whatever's going on, to empower each other to use our gifts to live into and spread the love that is rooted in Christ's love. And when we do this, when we live into that, Christ is present among us. The love that we have in this community is Christ's presence in the world. And more powerful than any physical object, any memento or keepsake, any object with a story to it, the presence of Christ in that story of love has the power to transform, to lift up, to heal, to serve as a beacon in the darkness, keeping us in the light, but also revealing that light to others. And souls are candles, each lighting the other. Christ is present in this room. He is here. That is what this is all about. A love present among us, Christ present among us. The gift that was given in a dusty upper room in a Palestinian home has found its way into a church in West Hartford. So what will we do with that light? How will we make sure that each of our candles stays lit and that the light we have will shine into the dark corners of the world? It all starts here with one another, with the face of Christ in each of us gathered. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another.